This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
From an organizational standpoint, you know, we have really stepped up and enhanced our training. By the time spring training's over, every single employee in this organization will have gone through enhanced domestic violence training. So every major league player, every major league coach, every major league staff member, every minor league player, every minor league staff member, every member of the front office will have gone through a pretty rigorous domestic violence training program to increase education and awareness. That process has already started with the folks back in Chicago. I think we've already had over 130 or so employees who have gone through the training. It'll continue here in Mesa in spring training.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Theo Epstein. He, of course, the president of the Chicago Cubs, and he is speaking about the Addison Russell situation and the enhanced form of domestic violence training that the Cubs are giving. And we are delighted to welcome in Julie DeCaro. She, of course, a talk show host here on The Score, a sports writer, a lawyer, and Julian Grody, 2.5 hours this Saturday, and Julie tonight after Illinois until 11 o'clock. Hey, Julie, how are you?
Morning, Julie.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
So I think it's interesting to hear what Theo had to say, and I think that we got a lot of reaction from people who were saying, you know, the Cubs have really stepped up and they're really taken, you know, an advanced role in this. And I don't know what enhanced training means, but I know that I believe Major League Baseball has put together a program where they have counselors come in. They've been doing that since I think the program began in 2016. And every year they have guys come in and talk to all the players, and they have all those things that people do, fill out the little booklet and make sure if you go online that you've done the training. We did it with CBS when they owned the station. And I don't know what enhanced is. I don't know what is going on more. But all of Major League Baseball is doing this sort of thing. And as I said, it's been going on for a while, so I don't know how much impact it's had, quite frankly. I don't know how you separate one form of training to enhanced training.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I actually have a friend who has done some of this training for Major League Baseball. And she said yesterday she doesn't know what enhanced DV training is, that as far as she knows, that everybody in Major League Baseball does the exact same domestic violence training. It's been in place, as you said, since 2015 or 2016. So I don't think any of us really have any information as to whether or not the Cubs are doing something above and beyond what the rest of Major League Baseball is doing.
Julie, you have said this on the air, and I think you tweeted it out the other night, but you listened to Theo Epstein the other day, and I thought he was really eloquent, and I felt like he really made some strong points and showed some empathy when talking about this issue. But you felt like there was a disconnect between the way men heard and interpreted what Theo had to say and how women heard and interpreted what Theo had to say. What did you mean?
Yeah, I think that I think he's sincere. Let me say that. I really do think that Theo Epstein is sincere in thinking that they're doing and trying to do all the right things to fix this situation. But he does sort of talk continually about supporting Addison and then sort of says as an afterthought, oh, and of course we're supporting Melissa too. And I know a lot of women who feel like, well, the time to support her was when the allegations initially came out in 2017 or when all this was happening. You know, in one of the interviews, she talked about the fact that he was threatening her on the Cubs plane and nobody seemed to notice. So, you know, I think that when we hear constantly about supporting Addison, it starts to shift the focus a little bit away from the victim and towards him. And it almost makes him look like a victim of this as well. And I think that a lot of women, that really rubs the wrong way. Hopefully it rubs some men the wrong way too, because it should. He tends to come off from these things sounding like, you know, almost someone that they have sympathy for. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't have sympathy for an abuser. And I think we can all agree that some level of abuse was going on in this case, and Major League Baseball has said as much. But, you know, he's not the victim here. And the way that she sort of comes up as an afterthought, I think, is something that's a little bit problematic.
Yeah, Julie, I think it's interesting what you're saying here, because I guess we're going to hear from Addison Russell probably, I don't know if it's tomorrow or Saturday or Sunday, but we're going to hear from him. He is in camp with his teammates, and we know there is still a 28-game suspension to be served to start the season. You are a Cub fan. What do you need to hear from him?
That's a good question. I think we're not going to hear much from him probably beyond what was in that initial statement, simply because lawyers are going to tell him there's some things he just can't say, right? So I'm sure a lot of people have said, well, you know, has he ever admitted to it? Is he going to apologize for it? And there's probably still criminal liability attached to some of these acts where the statute of limitations hasn't run yet. One of the things that Melissa talked about in an interview was him jumping out of a cab and tackling her on the concrete. So things like that, you know, another time I think she says he threw her across the room. Things like that he can't admit to and he can't talk about, because that's just going to open him up to criminal liability. You know, what I would like to hear from him is he's supposedly doing all this counseling. I have definite opinions about what kind of counseling he seems to be doing as someone who used to work in this field. I feel like group therapy with other men and women too, because women abuse it as well, in that situation is what's really important, because abusers can be very manipulative. They can be very charming. And if you just tell a counselor everything they want to hear, it's really difficult, I think, to affect any change. If you are with other abusers who know how the game is played and know all the tricks, then they kind of call each other out on their BS. And a lot of therapists have said that, you know, group counseling really is the most important thing when you're trying to treat an abuser. I don't know if he's done any of that. What I would like to hear from him is what he's learned about himself over the course of this counseling. This isn't anger management counseling where, you know, they give you some different techniques to deal with your anger. This is supposed to be long-term, intensive counseling over months and months and months, which is typically what it takes to treat someone effectively who is an abuser and who is sort of addicted to the power and control in a relationship. So, you know, the fact that this has gone on for only a few months and we're already hearing things from the Cubs like, well, he's complied with everything. If he's complied with everything to this point and it's pretty much over, then that's not enough. And I think that most therapists would say that's not enough to effectively treat what we're trying to work on here. So I would want to know what his plans are for the future, how long he plans to stay in counseling beyond what Major League Baseball mandates, and what insight he's gained about his own character when it comes to the way that he views relationships.
That said, Julie, is there anything that he can say that would change your mind or perception of the way the Cubs have handled this, of what they should do? And do you think they're listening for cues so they can decide on how they should proceed?
I don't know. I would hope that they're listening to fans. I think there's definitely been a lot of people from the DV community who have weighed in on stuff that they would like to see. So I hope that they are listening and sort of trying to learn how to handle this. I know they're working with Family Rescue, which is a terrific organization. I'm starting to see a lot of people, and even people in the media, say, well, domestic violence experts saying they're handling this the right way. And I can tell you that the domestic violence community is divided on how the Cubs have handled this. Some people think in no way should he be on the team. He shouldn't be involved. And when you see pictures coming out of spring training of him sort of joking around and taking batting practice, and it's like, what really is the punishment here outside of the suspension? So the Cubs keep saying he's, you know, a full participant in spring training, but he's got a long way to go before he's back with us. Well, it doesn't really look like beyond doing the counseling that Major League Baseball has mandated and whatever he's taken on by himself, that there's a ton more for him to do. So I guess I want to hear specifically that the Cubs are holding him accountable, and what beyond just complying with the counseling they care about. So there's plenty of guys who go through this kind of counseling who tell therapists exactly what they want to hear. And then, you know, in their personal lives and their private lives, go on behaving exactly the same way they have before. I'd want to know what the Cubs have in place to try to monitor that kind of situation. And I don't know how you do that necessarily, but I feel like if you decide to keep the guy in the team, and if you keep talking about holding him accountable, it goes above and beyond just whether or not he complies with counseling. Because, I mean, frankly, all the time that I was in court on these cases, I don't think I ever saw someone who was accused of abuse not finish their counseling. Like, I don't think it's that difficult of a thing to do, particularly if you can do it over the phone or however a lot of MLB players and other athletes do it. So, I don't know. I think there's got to be some kind of safeguard in place for when this thing is happening right under their nose and they don't know about it. And I'm not sure exactly what that is, but that is something that I would want to know about from the Cubs.
When I read Melissa's blog and when I read what she had written about her relationship with Addison Russell, I think a lot of the stuff that jumps out at you is obviously the physical violence, the, you know, shoving and pushing and the stuff you mentioned to start it. But there's also this element of sort of emotional abuse, this kind of gaslighting that she went through. And
yeah,
that is as disturbing in a lot of ways. And I'm sure they deal with that in the counseling, but, you know, there, it's more than just pushing and shoving. It is an entire sort of mental approach to someone, tearing them down, ripping their self-value from them. It's horrible.
Yeah, it really is. And it's a very complex psychological process. And so when people talk about, well, why didn't she just leave? I think that if you spend time studying this topic, yeah, you start to understand, because you're not dealing with someone who's looking at the world from a rational point of view. You're starting to see yourself and the world through the abuser's eyes. And that's why what I want to hear Addison Russell talk about, what he learned about himself, I'd like to hear him talk about issues of power and control and how he's going to deal with that in his life. Because the centerpiece for domestic abuse is power and control over everything in that relationship. And physical violence is just the method by which you impose your control, right? And there's a lot of different methods to do that. So I think you're exactly right to point that out. And a lot of people who have been through it would argue that the emotional abuse is far worse than the physical abuse. So, I mean, the fact that Addison Russell can maybe go without, you know, touching someone physically doesn't mean that he's not still being abusive. And that's why I want to hear him talk about what he's learned in counseling and if he's been able to apply that to his own relationship.
Julie, thanks very much. Really appreciate your
perspective.
Thanks, Julie.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Take care.
Okay, you can listen to Julie tonight. She'll be on after the Illini game until 11. And again, Saturday, Julie and our guy Mark Rohde, 2.5 hours.
Yes, yeah, interesting perspective on an important issue with Addison Russell.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.